Who should I talk to if I have a question? At the award-winning affiliate program marketing agency, Acceleration Partners, whose clients include Adidas, Gymboree, Reebok, Target, Warby Parker, etc., the team noticed that while they were very clear internally about who would be working on a project, customers were often less sure. To remedy this situation, they realized they needed to educate the customer and provide them with specific details on the people who would be working on the project. In particular, the client needed to understand which member of the Acceleration Partners team to contact regarding specific issues and how to escalate a conversation to more senior members of the team if necessary. Approximately 2 weeks after signing the contract to work together, while the relationship is still in its infancy, the vice president of client services sends a who's who email specifying the members of the team who will be working on the project. The email reads like this. To the client. Subject, who's who on your team? Message. Dear client, I hope that all is well and that your work with Acceleration Partners is off to a good start. I wanted to take a minute to introduce myself and formally let you know who's who on the AP team and make sure that you have the right points of contact for any issues or opportunities that arise as we continue to build our relationship. My goal is to ensure that all of our client relationships are successful and mutually beneficial. Please don't hesitate to contact me at any point with any questions or concerns about your account. Your complete account team is listed below, along with recommended points of escalation for common questions or issues. Natasha Romanova, VP Client Services, Executive Level Client Services Lead, is the best person to contact for contract changes, major account opportunities or issues, and is your senior point of escalation. Steve Rogers, Account Director, is responsible for overseeing client relationship and success. He's your best contact for high-level account performance questions or concerns and major workflow issues or changes. Clinton Barton, the account manager, is responsible for day-to-day strategic and operational activities, overseeing account strategy and performance. He's your best contact for day-to-day campaign opportunities or concerns. Of course, you're welcome to reach out to me or anyone on your account team anytime, and I'm personally glad to discuss any issue or opportunity, large or small. We will also reach out to you quarterly via Client Heartbeat, an important tool we use to regularly monitor our client satisfaction levels. It only takes a minute to complete, but our team uses it as an important pulse on how we're doing, so I really appreciate your response. We look forward to a successful partnership. Natasha Romanova, VP Client Services. Not only does this email formally introduce the team members working on the project, but it outlines clear responsibilities for each person and under what circumstances they should be contacted. Giving a client this level of clarity early in the relationship eliminates uncertainty and in the process builds trust. If Acceleration Partners wanted to take things one step further, the email could share two or three hypothetical scenarios that happen regularly with customers and then clearly state whom the customer should contact in these situations. It never hurts to be overly specific in explaining internal processes, especially this early in the relationship. Finally, the email also hints at the client heartbeat, a tool the agency uses for quarterly check-ins to monitor overall client engagement and satisfaction. This shows an ongoing and formalized system for continuing to build the relationship and maintain a high level of trust and confidence. Along with the email, the client receives a PDF recapping the various roles and responsibilities as outlined in the email. The individual pages of the PDF profile the team members, showing photos and sharing a few details about their personal lives. The inclusion of the photos humanizes the interaction and creates connection as the new customer sees the team members working on their project. Because the customer may never have the opportunity to meet in person, this creates opportunities for connection and trust building. For example, reading the PDF profile on Natasha, a customer can then connect on multiple topics, including her background with Acme Corp, her international relations and computer studies, her love of Disney World, or her support of the Fighting Irish. These pieces of information should provide at least one point of commonality. For example, I love Disney World too. Or contrast. For example, you can cheer for the Irish as long as they aren't playing my team. These additional points of connection allow the customer to engage with this key team member. Due to the nature of Acceleration Partners' business, most customers commit to a minimum 6-month engagement, taking them well beyond the first 100 days of the relationship. Despite this contractual structure, approximately 10% of customers tried to exit the agreement or change the terms in the past. Since implementing the new customer onboarding strategy, not a single new customer has altered or exited their contract in the first 6 months. Proof that trust is being established and the clients are more certain about the relationship. In the first 100 days, observes founder and managing director Bob Glazer, you're often working from a place of distrust. The customer is unsure if they can trust you 100% because you're a new partner and they are coming to the table with the baggage of past relationships and bad customer experiences. Your actions and efforts should be designed to help them realize they can trust you and that this relationship will be entirely different. Here's my quick takeaway. Building personal connection is a vital element of relationship building. By explaining who is on the team and detailing roles and responsibilities, it's possible to reduce uncertainty and establish trust early in the customer lifecycle. Customers need to know where they should go with questions, concerns, and problems that may arise in the first few weeks or months of working together. Offering personal details about team members that go beyond their duties and responsibilities creates possibilities for connection via points of commonality or contrast. By empowering your employees to play an active role in creating your customer journey touchpoints, you increase buy-in, implementation, and commitment to the process in the long run. Summary, Phase 5, Acclimate. Creating remarkable customer experiences in the acclimate phase. The acclimate phase takes place between the first major interaction and the point where the customer accomplishes their original goal when choosing to purchase your product or use your service. During this phase, the customer will be learning the ropes as well as interacting with your team members and additional product or service offerings. The goal in this time period is to get early buy-in and habit formation before the novelty wears off and/or the customer slips back into old behaviors. Think of acclimating at altitude and be ready to hand customers your own version of a glass of water to make their transition smoother and more comfortable. The acclimate stage of the customer lifecycle is your opportunity to introduce customers to the organization's culture, processes, or systems in a way that encourages them to adapt to this new environment. 6 things to do in the acclimate phase starting tomorrow. You don't have to use each communication tool in every phase, but you should at least consider each tool as a way to create memorable experiences for your customers. In person. Lending a friendly hand as a customer navigates using the product or service is key in the acclimation stage. By now, the customer understands most basic operations and interactions, but is probably becoming aware of nuances that weren't addressed in the early stages. By being regularly present, the brand can help address these and increase the customer's comfort and experience. Chapter example. Teaching your language to new customers, like San Francisco CrossFit does, and walking them through your process at the customer's pace guarantees that no new customer is left behind. In-person celebrations along the journey, like those offered by Policy Medical, further reinforce the success of achieving various milestones. Email. By tweaking the sequence of additional orders, meetings, or interactions to include regular check-ins on customer progress, communications with customers can go from a one-way push mentality to a more fluid dialogue. Quick email surveys to individual customers allow for deeper segmentation, targeted assistance, and the identification of defection indicators over time. Chapter example. Sending a PDF that gives background information on the entire team, like Accelerated Partners does, and including their photographs, creates connections between the account services team and the individual customer. Regular status emails, like those used by Policy Medical, help ensure that the customer knows exactly where they are in the implementation process. Congratulating customers on achieving early milestones, like they do at San Francisco CrossFit, and encouraging them to continue, lets them know you are monitoring their individual progress and have a vested interest in seeing them succeed. Mail. As most businesses move into the acclimate phase, direct mail communications slow and often cease, except for invoices and upsell flyers or catalogs. Instead of being in sales mode, use mail to send unexpected tools to help the customer succeed. Use this opportunity to further deepen their understanding of your brand, your culture, and your core values. Chapter example. A well-designed puzzle, like the one used by Policy Medical, can serve as a visual roadmap of the entire onboarding process, making implementation faster, easier, and even more fun. Phone. A group call or teleseminar provides the opportunity for new customers to get personalized coaching or suggestions on how to experience early success with the brand. This clear commitment to the new customer's success establishes a sense of accountability and support and acclimates them to these business interactions. Chapter example. Text messages, like those sent by Delta and Domino's, can assuage any concerns about things potentially not going as planned. They also provide constant confirmation that things are on track for the expected outcome. Video. A video from an expert, senior management, a project lead, etc., congratulating the customer on reaching the halfway point in the project will enhance the relationship by showcasing commitment to the customer's success. This also offers the chance to anchor customer behaviors to the brand mission. Present. Surprise gifts and bonuses as the customer becomes more familiar with the brand keep the interactions exciting and engaging. Anything that would make the experience smoother, easier, or more efficient offers the chance for a surprise at this stage in the customer lifecycle. Chapter example. Celebrations along the journey, like the one hosted by Policy Medical, further highlight the significance of the customer's effort toward achieving milestones. Your assignment. Put these ideas to work. Now that you have a clear understanding of the acclimate phase, answer a series of questions that are designed to get you thinking about how you can use each of the communication tools to enhance the overall experience during this phase of the customer journey. You're doing a great job. This is a set of questions that you absolutely want to complete, as the acclimate phase is where most customers leave you. Answer these questions and stop the defections. Evaluating the current situation. Answer each question, then write two or three sentences explaining your answer. For bonus points, write down any ideas you have for changes that would make your answers better. Number one, how do you hold your customer's hand while they are getting familiar with working with you? Hint. Do you have product directions, Gantt charts, process maps, an online customer portal, regular check-in meetings, etc.? Number two, describe in detail various things you do to help customers navigate your process. How long does it take before they start to see results? What does it feel like? How do you mark milestones along the way? How do your customers know what happens next? Number three, in your current business, do you create remarkable experiences during the acclimate phase? If so, what are they? Number four, on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is pathetic and 10 is world class, how would you rate the experience your customers currently have in the acclimate phase? Tools to enhance the future experience. Answer each question by coming up with 2 or 3 ideas for using the specific tool to enhance the customer experience. Again, please don't worry about how much it will cost, who will do it, or how to get it implemented in your organization. Keep being bold and audacious with your ideas. Number one, how can you use in-person interactions during this phase to make sure the customer is staying on the path and always moving forward? Number two, how can your emails guide customers through your process, keeping them informed of their accomplishment to date and clearly outlining what still remains? Number three, how can a series of customized mail pieces mark the steps in the process that the customer completes and those that are still being worked on? Number four, how can a phone conversation create a check-in and open a dialogue for addressing any uncertainty or confusion? Number five, how can videos guide the customer through key steps and tricky elements? Number six, what present or presents could you give customers that mark their progress and accomplishments? Pick one now. If you've answered the questions, and I hope you're not just listening, seriously, slow down. Answer these questions. You have a clear understanding of the customer experience during the acclimate phase, as well as many ideas for how to make that experience better. Taking that into account, consider the following questions. Number one, what is one thing you can start doing tomorrow to make the experience your customers have in the acclimate phase even better? Number two, who would you need to talk to in order to make this happen? Number three, how would you know if you've succeeded in making this improvement? Number four, how would you measure the improvement of the overall customer experience? Number five, how would you share this impact with the rest of the organization? From acclimate to accomplish. Now that you've helped your customers learn the ropes and they are familiar with your process, habits, and behaviors as exhibited in the acclimate phase, let's consider how you can help them achieve the goal or goals that led them to choose to work with you in the beginning. Chapter 13, Phase 6, Accomplish. Here's the overview of the accomplish phase. The accomplish phase of the customer experience occurs when the customer achieves the result they were seeking when they first decided to do business with you. Unfortunately, many customers never reach this phase, and even fewer companies pay attention to this important milestone. Sometimes, it's a piece of cake. At face value, the phrase managed disaster recovery may sound like an oxymoron, but not if you know the team at Ongoing Operations, or OGO, as their clients call them. OGO manages disaster recovery by offering a fully prepared temporary off-site office space and server backup to credit unions and other companies that need extra space in a pinch. OGO is considered to be the industry leader in business continuity process and disaster recovery technologies, partly because it follows the previous 5 phases of customer experience, deftly bringing a sense of humor and playfulness to a high-pressure planning activity, and partly because it actively reminds its clients to celebrate their progress, an action clients might otherwise forget to take amid the stress. A good disaster recovery partner has a facility located far enough away from the cities it serves so that any natural or man-made disaster in those cities is highly unlikely to affect the business's ongoing operations. See what I did there? Located in Hagerstown, Maryland, less than 90 miles from the major metropolitan areas of Washington, D.C. and Baltimore, ongoing operations is on a different power grid, far enough away that it experiences different weather patterns, and yet close enough to the customers it serves to allow for their employees to easily travel to a temporary headquarters in an emergency. Ongoing operations has room after room full of cubicles that are preloaded with the necessary software and telephone solutions so that at a moment's notice, everything can mirror the technology and desktop footprint that a client experiences in its usual headquarters. Handling this preparation and planning is not an easy task and requires a level of strategy and coordination that most businesses find foreign and challenging. The typical new customer onboarding process at ongoing operations requires 30 phone calls, 50 or more emails, and 6 to 12 in-person meetings across a 2 to 3 month implementation schedule. When the entire project is completed and the business has been greenlit as ready for a disaster recovery situation, usually about 60 days after the project begins, ongoing operations sends a custom-made cake and a bouquet of balloons to the customer's implementation team. When the customer receives these gifts and opens the enclosed card, they find a playful message. "You just finished this great big implementation project. While it wasn't a piece of cake, have a piece of cake on us." This unexpected celebratory treat brings a smile to the faces of the customer's employees and leaves them thankful for the completion of this daunting and at times extremely stressful implementation program. Founder and CEO Kirk Drake notes that, quote, "It's a small investment that costs $100, which is almost nothing considering the average contract brings in between $20,000 and $30,000 a month in revenue. Taking the time to acknowledge the completion of the project with a cake doesn't require a lot of money. It just requires some thinking and planning ahead. Clients who complete the install process and receive the cake at the end love us forever," observes Kirk. "The effort of making the first 100 days memorable and pleasant puts us in a position to be more comfortable when asking for a favor later in the relationship." Stay tuned for a discussion of asking for testimonials and referrals in Chapter 15. Kirk is convinced that proper onboarding leads to long-term client relationships. "We spend a lot of time communicating with our clients to make sure they understand the process, expectations, results, and anything in between. If we don't spend the time during the first 100 days, we've found that customers walk out the door at the end of the contract." Here's my quick takeaway. Know the customer's primary goal and then celebrate with them when they achieve that milestone. You should strive to invest at least 5% of a project's profits back into experience enhancements for your customer. If you run into challenges along the way, acknowledge them, and where appropriate, add humor to the interactions to make them more memorable and reduce the overall stress level. Will you even reach the accomplish phase? First of all, you need to know whether you've reached the accomplish phase or not. Shockingly few businesses track whether or not customers achieve their desired results. Because it often takes so long to accomplish the goal, many customers forget why they decided to try your product or service in the first place. If you don't track the goal and the customer doesn't remember the goal, how are you going to know when to celebrate the achievement of the goal? How are they going to know when to thank you for making it happen? The accomplish phase is tied to the entire reason the organization is in business and to the main promise the organization makes to any new customer during the marketing and sales process. Reaching the accomplish phase is not as common as one might think. When it comes to accomplishing the customer's goal, most interactions fall into one of three categories. Number one, mission accomplished. The customer achieves the desired goal and has such a positive experience along the way that they will continue to purchase from and recommend this business going forward. Number two, the lukewarm bath. The customer achieves the stated goal, but the feelings associated with the process were less than positive. In this scenario, while the customer achieved the initial goal or result, they are unlikely to purchase again or refer other customers to the business because of the feelings they associate with the company. Number three, mission failure. The customer does not accomplish the desired result and decides never to do business with the company again. Sadly, this last scenario happens often. The accomplish phase is regularly overlooked by businesses, probably because it seems so obvious to their very existence. Of course, the product is meant to achieve the results. And yet it doesn't always work out that way for the customer. In many businesses, it is the rare customer who reaches the accomplish phase with the business and customer relationship still intact. This violates the maxim outlined by business consultant John Jantz, referenced earlier in this book. A sale is not a finished sale until the customer receives a result. You reached the finish line. Here's your diploma. After hearing a 15-minute speech I gave at an event called Mastermind Talks, John Goodman decided to redesign his entire customer onboarding experience. John launched the Online Trainer Academy, or OTA, program in 2016. As the first ever certification program for online trainers, OTA offered an online video course in which John taught a business development methodology he created. John combined old-school offline customer interactions with smart, automated systems that made customers feel cared for at all times. My goal was and is to help personal trainers make a bit more money in a bit less time with a bit better schedule, all while doing a better job, John explains. Contrary to many online training programs, John wanted to incorporate a physical element to complement his web-based video series. To do this, he designed a program where he surprises and delights his new customers via unexpected items they receive in the mail, a strong contrast for customers operating in an online environment. After the training course is purchased, John's team mails the customer a hardback textbook, a spiral-bound training workbook, and instructions for how to use these two items in conjunction with the online training videos. The fact that John's online training program has a physical textbook and workbook automatically distinguishes it from the bulk of online education programs. The fact that these books are beautifully designed and printed further cements the emotional experience customers have and supports the brand image and reputation of a high-quality, high-value program. Even printing a textbook and mailing it to the customer is different, John explains. Nobody in my industry does this because it's cheaper to do digital fulfillment. My goal is to blow my students away with the quality and thoughtfulness of the original materials we send as part of the course, including book quality workbooks and a metallic imprinted bookmark. Receiving the textbook and workbook in the mail is just the first of many touches. Special gifts, small mementos, and other thoughtful presents appear from time to time in the customer's mailbox as a way for John to stay in touch, stay top of mind, and continue to show his appreciation for his customer's investment in his online training program. Custom-built training software allows John to monitor the progress of his students and provide them with gentle yet useful nudges should they slow or stall in any of the training modules. This allows John to acclimate his clients as they navigate their coursework. The real magic happens, however, when John's students accomplish the goal of passing their online certification test. This is the reason they signed up for the course in the first place. In fact, about 40% of John's customers complete all of the training modules and take the necessary tests to achieve the Online Trainer Academy certification. In addition, about 20% of John's customers complete all of the training modules, but don't take the final step of testing to become certified. This shows that the majority of his customers, 60%, are achieving the result of completing the course, even if they don't take the final step to become officially recognized as certified online trainers. Compared with the fact that online courses typically see an average completion rate of 3 to 5%, John's results are incredible and more than 10 times the industry average. To mark the important milestone and accomplishment of becoming certified, John sends the graduated student an email filled with badges to add to their website and images for them to upload to social media announcing their online certification. The real surprise comes in the mail about a week later, when the newly graduated and certified trainer receives a beautiful graduation diploma, signed by John and marked with the Online Trainer Academy seal of approval. This suitable for framing diploma mirrors the diploma one would receive in a traditional real-world training program. The fact that it comes to individuals who have completed an online program makes it stand out in the world of online training courses. The benefits of this approach to creating remarkable customer experiences aren't limited to the students in John's course. The employees are energized by these activities as well. John explains, "My people friggin' love it. It makes what we're doing a lot more real for the team because they can see what we build for our customers in our customers' hands. I feel like the employees at most digital product companies get bored because they can't really see people enjoying or using their materials. We don't have that problem." This extra care for students and employees impacts the bottom line of the business in a significant way. On average, there's a 20% refund rate for digital products within the first 100 days, explains John, and this is considered acceptable by my competition. Never being one to rest on his laurels, John wanted to raise the expectations of his team and students by striving for a single-digit return rate. In our most recent launch, we experienced just a 2.9% refund rate, John shared. Based on our sales, the increase in expense for all of the physical fulfillment and the difference between a 20% refund rate and a 2.9% refund rate meant that we made another $264,939.82 in profit. By the time a customer reaches the accomplish phase, the results from enhanced customer experiences are permeating every aspect of the business. The customers are ecstatic, the employees are engaged, and the bottom line is getting better with each program iteration. Here's my quick takeaway. Defy customers' preconceived expectations. Create contrast in experience. Online customers expect that every interaction will be online. Consider adding offline interactions to bring your company and experience into the tangible world. Sending something via mail feels almost old school in comparison with online offerings, but this contrasting experience creates a remarkable interaction. Run through the tape. When I was in junior high, I had an ill-advised stint on the track team. Let's just say that my top running speed was a little above that of a toddler who has just learned to walk. In fact, one time while running an 800-meter race, two laps around the track, I was so far behind the pack that the organizers turned off the stadium lights before I crossed the finish line. Granted, it was the last race of the night, but come on, people! My running accomplishments, or lack thereof aside, I learned a valuable lesson that is familiar to all track runners and should be mandatory teaching, in my opinion, for business leaders everywhere. In practice, my coach always insisted that I run through the tape. He explained that as they near the finish line, Most runners focus all their energy on getting to the tape strung across the finish line. This tape was designed to help race officials determine who had won the race, not to mark the runner's focus. Coach explained that if you run to the tape, you're actually slowing down in the final steps as your body is trying to land on the finish line. He encouraged me to take my focus farther out, to a spot 10 feet behind the finish line. That way, as I was running, I would keep accelerating through the finish line instead of slowing down to meet it. Instead of trying to get your customers to reach the accomplished finish line, focus on helping them make it past their deadline, goal, or desired result. What is the customer really hoping to do? If you sell a weight loss product, the goal isn't just to lose 20 pounds. It's to fit into the suit for the wedding. If you know the actual desire behind the goal, you can help manage the customer to that outcome. For example, ask them to send a picture wearing the suit at the wedding after losing the weight. By running through the tape, you ensure that your team and your energies are devoted to going above and beyond the finish line, instead of simply arriving at the desired result the customer expected. Will you please just go the F to sleep? The acknowledgement of a customer achieving their desired results doesn't require a significant commitment of time, money, or effort. In fact, when done properly, it can be automated in an incredible fashion. Audible.com, a global library and resource for purchasing audiobooks as digital downloads, accomplishes this with a fantastic email. In the process, they also perfectly time their upsell offer and all but guarantee another purchase. Back in 2012, my wife Barrett and I found out that we were expecting our first child. Not long after the birth of our son, a colleague called me and said, "Joey, I have a book that you need to read. But I don't want you to read it," he continued. "I need you to listen to the audiobook. Every parent needs to listen to this book." "What's it called?" I inquired. "Go the F to sleep," he replied. I must confess that I started laughing. He cut me off. "Every parent needs to know that the total sleep deprivation that comes with a newborn is normal, and it's okay to be frustrated with your child in those moments." To make matters even better, he shared the pièce de résistance. By the way, the audiobook is narrated by Samuel L. Jackson. Having this playful children's book narrated by a movie icon known for his unique and commanding voice, and his propensity for swearing, brought the book to an entirely new level of experience. What was most interesting to me, though, was not the hysterical story by the book's author, Adam Mansbach, which was wonderfully irreverent, nor the passionate narration by Samuel L. Jackson, which left me laughing out loud. I was intrigued by the email I received from Audible the day after I accomplished my goal of listening to the complete audiobook. Audible sent a beautiful email. At the top, it said, "If you liked Go the F to Sleep, you're going to love," and then below included recommendations for other audiobook titles, including three for grown-up children and three for growing children. At the bottom of this illustration was a colorful button that said, "Make me laugh." And when you clicked on this, it was a link to the Audible website where I could purchase the recommended titles. I found a number of things about this email fascinating. First, the email didn't arrive until after I had downloaded and completely listened to the audiobook. The Audible app has an automation that lets the company know when you've actually listened to the book, so it doesn't email you before you've experienced the result you sought when you first made the purchase. Once you've finished listening, Audible sends an upsell email. Interestingly enough, this message is modified if the listener gives the audiobook a low rating. In that instance, Audible won't recommend the same author or the same genre, and instead will recommend a different kind of audiobook. Second, the email focused on a visual presentation instead of written text. The typical company would have sent a written text message that said, "Dear Joey, if you liked Go the F to Sleep, you're going to love, for grown-up children, Bossy Pants, Tina Fey. Stuff My Dad Says, Justin Halpern. Are You There, Vodka? It's Me, Chelsea Handler. And for growing children, Mr. Popper's Penguins, Richard Atwater, The Cat in the Hat, Dr. Seuss, The Three Little Pigs, James Marshall. Make me laugh." These are the exact same words as presented in the visual email Audible sent. But the experience of receiving a text-based email like this is completely different. Finally, I loved the call to action button that said, "Make me laugh." The fact that Audible knew or could assume my emotional state and took advantage of this state in the message further reinforces that simple communications, like a confirmation email, can have long-lasting impact. Here's my quick takeaway. The mere fact that your customer achieved their desired goal or result is worthy of noting and celebrating. Not only does it show you were paying attention all along, but it lets you share in the successful achievement. Communications can be personalized or automated as long as they are properly timed to the milestone. If the message coincides with a well-placed upsell offer, the likelihood of the customer purchasing again is significant. Your site is live. Anyone who has ever been part of a website development project, whether as a designer or coder or the client, knows what a painful process it can be. Projects have a tendency to go way beyond scope, cost more than anyone planned or budgeted, and miss deadlines as if they weren't even there. Often, getting the website launched and live is a minor miracle, leaving everyone relieved and eager to avoid reliving the memories. Clients of Yoko Co. in McLean, Virginia, feel very different when their websites launch. As a web development firm, Yoko Co. focuses on enhancing the online presence of organizations that are driven by purpose beyond profit. From the very first meeting, the Yoko Co. team is focused on clearly identifying the client's goals and explicitly defining what a successful website launch looks like, in the client's own words, a focus that has led founder Chris Yoko to grow the company to a dozen employees and more than $1.5 million in annual revenues. After making introductions at the kickoff meeting, Yoko takes the new client through a process to identify and record the organizational objectives for the website, as well as the short-term and long-term success metrics. They use this information throughout the development process and all the way through the launch of the website. Not only does the Yoko Co. team assist the client in promoting the launch, but Yoko Co. supports the effort with their own press releases and social media plugs designed to celebrate the client's new website. The Yoko Co. team then conducts two surveys, one internal, one external. While many companies send surveys, Yoko Co. uses them to objectively assess the project while also gathering information that is valuable for both internal operations and client conversations. Experience increased. The internal survey asks all the members of the team who worked on the project to evaluate their own performance as well as that of their peers and the client. The survey begins by asking four basic questions. Number one, what project does the survey pertain to? Number two, on a scale of 1 to 5 stars, 5 being the best, how much or how little did you enjoy working with our client on this project? Number three, would you like to work with this client again? Number four, what is your name and title? The responses measure current employee project satisfaction while also giving insight to future project assignments. Depending on how many stars the employee gives the client, the survey expands to ask more specific questions. For example, with 5 stars, the survey celebrates a great project and offers the employee the chance to write a testimonial for the client. If the employee gives the project 1 star, the survey acknowledges the frustration, creates space for the employee to vent their feelings, and then playfully asks what should happen next, ranging from, quote, "Let's put this behind us," to, quote, "Can I kick you in the crotch instead?" By gathering honest feedback, Yococo is able to better select clients in the future, as well as share usually positive feedback with the client at the conclusion meeting. Can we give you a hug? The external survey asks everyone who took part in the project from the client side to share their feedback. The survey begins by asking 3 basic questions. Number 1, on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being the best, how much or how little did you enjoy working with us on this project? Number 2, would you recommend Yococo to your colleagues? Number 3, what is your name and title? Again, depending on how many stars the client gives the project, the survey expands to ask more specific questions. For example, if a client gives it 5 stars, the survey asks for specific feedback about what the client liked and offers the respondent the chance to write a testimonial for Yococo. If the client gives the project 1 star, the survey acknowledges the frustration, creates space for the client to vent their feelings, and then playfully asks if they want to hug it out. Ending on a high 5? After gathering the survey feedback, the Yococo team conducts a conclusion meeting designed to mirror the kickoff meeting. The first item on the agenda is a review of the organizational objectives as well as the short-term and long-term success metrics. The Yococo team does an honest assessment, measuring the level of success on each of the metrics previously identified. The client also provides feedback on the metrics so that A, any outstanding deficiencies can be addressed, and B, everyone is clear on whether the project goals have been accomplished. As far as we're concerned, the project isn't complete until we confirm we've hit the mark and the client feels their goals are achieved, explains Yoko. The meeting also offers the opportunity to review any problems the client experienced during the project, share the scores the Yococo team gave the client, provide testimonials and endorsements for the client via online review sites and or social media, and, only after a lot of giving to the client, ask the client for testimonials and reviews. At the end of the meeting, Yococo outlines a plan for another 3 months of site monitoring, which is provided as part of the initial project fee, during which the team will make sure that the site continues to operate properly and the client remains happy. According to Yoko, this is our attempt to mitigate website launchers' remorse and to move them toward the adopt and advocate phases. This is also a great example of the run-through-the-tape philosophy outlined earlier in this chapter. Since adopting these onboarding strategies, not only have projects stayed on budget and on schedule, but client and employee satisfaction has skyrocketed. I knew these systems would make for happier, more engaged clients, notes Yoko. What surprised me was the impact on our employee experience. I've seen the team become more collaborative with clients, dramatically increase their personal engagement and involvement, and get super excited about surprising clients with thoughtful gifts. Not only are we accomplishing the client's goals, but we are accomplishing my goal of creating a fun company culture with engaging employees doing meaningful work. Here's my quick takeaway. It's not unusual for a business to think it has crossed the finish line with a customer, only to find that the customer feels 6 paces behind. Taking the time in the beginning of the relationship to collaborate with the customer and establish solid metrics for success makes it easy to know whether the finish line is reached. Using surveys, both internally and externally, at the completion of an engagement to gather information about how the customer and your employees feel about working together allows for a clear understanding of what went right or wrong and a better experience for everyone in future engagements. Thanks for dining with us. The best part about visiting the hopping Latin American restaurant Baro isn't its location in a gorgeous 4-story, 16,000 square foot building in the heart of Toronto's entertainment district. The best part is that from your second visit onward, you feel like you've been a loyal patron for decades. The restaurant manages to treat fairly new customers like family by having every employee, from food runners to bartenders to servers to partners, record your preferences in Baro's reservation software. So instead of hearing the blasé opening question, "Have you dined with us before?" you can begin the evening by being asked, "Mr. Johnson, will you be having your Johnny Walker on the rocks again?" In its first year in business, Baro booked more than $10 million Canadian in revenue, an amazing accomplishment for a brand new restaurant. Baro's seamless dining experience begins with the hostess sending a subtle signal to the staff. Every customer receives either a blue or green menu. Blue if they are an existing customer and Baro has customer intelligence on them, or green if they are a new customer with no record or prior booking in Baro's customer relationship management software. The customer's interest, food and drink selections, and preferences not only are captured, but the experience coordinator reviews these daily. Before the restaurant opens for the evening, the coordinator talks to each server about the specifics of the guests who will be seated in that server's section. Our goal is to constantly create micro customer experiences for our guests, Michelle Falcon, one of Baro's partners, explains. Small, subtle, memorable gestures that will resonate with them for years to come. The budget for creating these interactions is purposely kept lean. $250 Canadian per month total for the entire restaurant in order to, quote, keep the team creative. In the days following the dining experience, Baro continues to connect with the customer. Customers receive a thank you for joining us call and an invitation to fill out a quick survey via email about their experience. Baro tracks these responses and receives a net promoter score of 80 plus. Astounding considering that the average net promoter score in the restaurant industry is zero. Yes, indeed, you heard that properly. Zero. Ironically enough, 10 to 15% of the customers who received the thank you call book another reservation while on the phone. To be clear, Baro doesn't ask the customer if they want to book a reservation. The customer takes advantage of the call to give Baro more business. Once a month, the experience coordinator randomly selects 10 customers to receive a very special thank you from the partners in the restaurant. The partners film customized videos, incorporating references to the intelligence they have on that particular customer, that are then emailed to the unsuspecting diners. Needless to say, the response to these videos is incredible. You can't imagine the state of shock and euphoria that customers experience when receiving these personalized messages, Michel shares with a proud smile on his face. The additional word of mouth, online reviews, and increased business from these patrons is too difficult to accurately measure, but we know it's significant. Here's my quick takeaway. Even in industries with the most transient of customers, it's possible to create a remarkable experience that gets them to come back again and again. By applying the collective powers of observation of all employees, intelligence on customers can be gathered, cataloged, and then used to create intimate feelings of nurturing and care. Following up with the customer after a successful or unsuccessful interaction not only will help improve your processes, but will bring your organization front of mind for the customer and spur the possibility of doing additional business. It's okay to ask for more. Once you're sure the customer has accomplished their original goals, it's okay to ask for additional business. This can come in the form of an upsell, an extension of an existing service contract, or a new and improved product offering. Not only is pairing their heightened emotional state with a request for new business appropriate, but the likelihood of a successful sale is dramatically higher. Successful upsell requests paired with heightened positive emotions after achieving the accomplish phase can be seen in the long lines to purchase concert merch after a rock concert, the significant sales of post-conference videos of the talks attendees witnessed, the photo of you in mid-scream that is available for purchase at the end of a roller coaster ride, and in the likelihood that you will continue to spend money in the hotel and casino after winning a Vegas jackpot. In short, when a customer gets what they originally wanted, it is much easier to ask them to extend the feeling by making another purchase. Keep in mind, however, that both you and the customer should feel that the previous engagement was successful before seeking new opportunities. The best way to do this is to identify the customer's goals at the beginning of the customer journey, ideally in the assess phase, but no later than the activate phase, and then track your progress against completing those goals throughout the relationship. Messaging an upsell at this point in the relationship doesn't require as much finesse as an earlier stage ask, but that doesn't mean it should be an afterthought. Give careful consideration as to what the customer wants or needs now that the engagement is accomplished, instead of just trying to sell them anything you can. Summary, phase 6, accomplish. The accomplish stage of the customer lifecycle occurs when the customer achieves the original result they were looking for when they decided to do business with you. This may be the time they use your product and achieve their desired impact, or the time that your service delivers on the hopes they had when deciding to work with you. During this phase, the customer's initial expectation is met, and they achieve the result or results sought during the initial consideration of your product or service. Regrettably, not every customer achieves the result sought, and thus not every customer completes this phase. By clearly identifying the customer's initial goal and then delivering that result in the accomplish phase, you are able to make good on the brand promise shared at the beginning of the relationship. The accomplish stage of the customer lifecycle offers you the opportunity to acknowledge the significance of this milestone, celebrate the achievement, and in the process, remind the customer that this was the result they were seeking all along. Even if the customer remembers their original goal, they will probably forget to celebrate, and in the process, acknowledge your contribution to their success, unless reminded. 6 things to do in the accomplish phase starting tomorrow. By now it should be clear, you don't need to use every communication tool in each phase. Just consider the possibilities of using a tool to create a memorable experience for the customer during this phase. In person. Taking the time to celebrate the customer's achievement of their initial goals honors this milestone and reinforces its significance. Hosting a party for the entire team or simply raising a glass in celebration with your main point of contact marks this moment as a memorable event, reminding the customer that their initial desires came true with your product or service. Chapter example. A conclusion meeting at the end of a customer engagement, like the one hosted by YokoCo, helps to mark the milestone and ensure that the customer's goals at the time of purchase or signing up have been met. Email. An email congratulating the customer on reaching this result helps to acknowledge and honor the accomplishment. Highlighting the various steps along the path the customer traveled to reach this point further establishes the significance of the moment. With certain products or services, reaching this phase can be memorialized with badges, banners, and certificates for customers to proudly display. Chapter example. Waiting until after the goal is achieved, like Audible and Borrow do, lets you join in celebrating the accomplishment before trying to convince the customer to make another purchase. Sending badges to display on social media, like Online Trainer Academy does, allows members of the tribe to publicly share their affiliation. Using surveys to gather both internal and customer feedback, like YokoCo does, helps accurately determine whether the initial client goals have been accomplished. Mail. A handwritten note marking the accomplishment of the customer's desired goal or impact creates a lasting memento of the occasion. A celebratory card allows for the expression of heartfelt congratulations while showing that the company was aware of the customer's desired result and the fact